Well, happy July 4th weekend. Hope you all have a good barbecue. Enjoy it. And, hey, we went to family camp last week, and we had a wonderful time. It was really nice. And I had the special blessing of having Brielle with Mary and I. And it was her first adult camp, and she really had a great time. We had a wonderful time as a family. And I'm very grateful for that. And let's take your Bibles this morning. And one of the first things I would like to share with you is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus Christ teaches the word in Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, he lays out the blessed attitudes. We call them the Beatitudes. They are really blessed attitudes. Humility, meekness, and so forth. And then he says to them, in verse 11 it says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." They're lying about you. Yeah, do you know what, Brielle, do you know what revile means? When they yell at you really bad, all right? And they say how evil you are. That's what revile means. And then they persecute you, and that means that they are causing you harm, mentally or emotionally or physically, all right? And they're coming after you. You know, but the truth of the matter is here, all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. In other words, these are, you know, when you should be very blessed when somebody's persecuting you because of your faith, because of your beliefs, and because of what you are saying to them that's according to God's word. You know, it doesn't, all the other stuff, it doesn't count. You know, it's just because somebody's yelling at you doesn't mean it's because for his sake. But at any rate, it says here, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Imagine being put in the same neighborhood as the great prophets of old, where they were being persecuted because of their faith. You know, you are just numbered among the greats when you stand up for God. And that's the Lord's. You are the salt of the earth. For the earth, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, if it loses its savor, if it's no longer salty, it's no longer worthwhile. "Wherein it shall be salted, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." We would call that pothole filler. You know, if it's not good for salt, then just throw it in the road and let it fill in for the potholes. "You are the light of the world." You are the salt, and you are the light. God, you know, we went through with this family camp last week. We saw how much God loved us. We saw the theme verse was in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, all right? And it's a great verse. "But that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you." That's God has given you this calling. He has made you what you are. You are the light. You are the salt. And Our mission in life is to praise Him, to bring honor and glory, excellency to His name. So, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted, and henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men? You are the lights of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle to put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The point again is to glorify your, they can see your life and glorify God. That is the point. That you would be like Him. Verse 46, I believe, says another thing like that. Yeah, verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. God is no partiality. He loves all mankind. He loves His enemies. Remember that in the week, during the week? He loves His enemies. You and I were dead in trespasses and sins. We were without God. We belong to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We were slaves to the adversary. We walked according to the course. We obeyed Him. We obeyed the devil and the nature that he poured out on all mankind. Selfishness, self-centeredness, greed, lust, all those wonderful things. And yet God so loved us that He, by His great mercy and His great love, called us and loved us. He's no partiality with God. See, he loves you when you were already garbage. He loved you when you were His enemy. How much more does He love you now that you've accepted His Son and are trying? You know, we all feel a little guilty because we're never doing it perfectly, right? Well, get rid of it. You're trying. You are children of the living God. You know what a child does? It grows. It matures. It tries. And as the years go by, as the days go by, you mature more and more and more if you want to. You can be rebellious if you like and stunt your growth. That's up to you. But God loved you when you were a mess. And He loves you because it rains on the just and on the unjust. The blessings come down on the just and the unjust. He's not a respecter. He's a respecter of conditions, but not persons. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? So, the only way we win on this, the only way we stay faithful, the only way we continue to mature in everything that we do, is we keep our eyes on God. We keep our, not people. We keep our eyes on what God says in His Word. We read it, because that's how we remind ourselves what's in there, right? We got to read the Word. You got to spend time talking to him in prayer. And you got a desire to grow up. You know, do you want to be a kid forever? I don't know any kid that wants to be a kid forever. When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to be an adult. Now, I wish I slowed down a little bit as a kid. But you can't turn the clock back. You know, as much as I would enjoy reliving some of my childhood, who knows what my future is, but I couldn't wait to be a mature, I couldn't wait to get a job, make my own money. I couldn't wait to get my own car. I couldn't wait to be done with school. Wouldn't that be great? I couldn't wait to be treated like an adult. You know? And I want that in my spiritual life. I want to walk like my Lord and Savior walked. I want to love like He loved. I want to be able to be effective as a servant and bring people to God. I want to grow up unto Him. And I want to bring glory to Him. And there are days when I rebel and I have to ask God for forgiveness, and He's gracious. You ask Him for forgiveness and He is faithful and just to forgive you all your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, love. And that's what this love your enemies section was about, because He makes the rain to, he loves them all. The Father loves His enemies. You know, God help us. I am so thankful He loved me. I'd like to take you someplace else in the Bible. Let's go to Psalm 37. There are things that get in our way sometimes of the simplicity of that truth. I want to be like my Father. I want to do what His Word says. I want to mature in my Christian walk, and I want to mature in my Christian life. And they're very practical things that get in the way. Psalm 37. And it says in verse 1, it says, fret not. That's on King James. Don't fret. All right? Don't be bothered by. Don't be bothered about. Don't get a twist. You know? Don't get all twisted up. Thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. There are so many people, if you watch TV, you watch the news, it angers me because of all the evil that's out there. And all the stuff seems like people get away with. And it's pushed at you all the time. And it looks like the guys who ride in the biggest cars, the fanciest houses and whatever, they're not godly. That's the way it seems to me. And it irritates me. And if I keep myself looking at this stuff, we all get irritated. Like I said, if you keep your eyes on God and on His Word, you're very peaceful, blessed, thankful. You've got everything you need. You put your eyes on the other stuff, and let's just read through it a little bit here. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. People who practice evil all the time. For they soon shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You're going to dwell in the kingdom to come, he's talking here about. You're going to do fine here too, but you're going to dwell and be fed in the kingdom of God. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shall be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. If you can't be delighting in the Lord if you're looking at the evil and getting all twisted up about the workers of iniquity and the evil that's out there and how unjust this, that, and the other thing is, you just can't. You can't do two things at the same time, right? He says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. You commit your way, God will bring things to pass. You stay straight. If God's working in your heart, which he is, I am sure, he works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he's working in your heart, he will bring it to pass. Now, you can't decide to make him do what you want. You have to ask him what he wants done. And if you're working with him, he's not working for you. Okay, get it straight. I mean, put that difference in your head. Oh, I'm excited about doing this. So, ask, is that what God's excited about or just you? So, he don't work for you. You work for him. He works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. I saw a video on YouTube. I think it was on YouTube. I was flipping through the internet. And I saw this little clip. It was quick. It was one of those quick ones. And it was a lady telling a story. And she says, you know, I woke up and I said, God, I want you, tell me what you would like me to do. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. And she went about her day. She was driving down the road and God said to her, I want you to go to the 7-Eleven parking lot and stand on your head. And she said, what? You know, like it can't be. So she said, what? What do you want me to do? Go to the 7-Eleven parking lot and stand on your head. And, what? You know, like why? That's the natural thing we would ask, right? And then you would start wondering, is this really God? And he says, I thought you said you'd do anything I asked. So she went to the 7-Eleven parking lot and she stood on her head. Obviously, she had the ability. Okay? Because this would be a miracle of miracles, if you ask me. She stood on her head. A lady inside 7-Eleven comes running out and screaming and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? She says, I'm standing on my head. And she says, no, you don't understand. I just told God, unless somebody outside is standing on their head, I'm going to go home and kill myself. It was a powerful little clip. Remember Ananias, the book of Acts? He's just, it says he's a certain disciple. This guy's not bothering anybody. He's going about his business. Maybe he was going to work. Maybe he was going home for dinner. I don't know what the time of the day was. All of a sudden, the Lord said to him, "Hey, Ananias, there's a man named Saul, and he's blind, and he's seen a vision, and I want you to go and heal him." And Ananias said, "Saul, isn't this the guy that's been hunting your people and throwing them into jail and doing them great harm? Isn't this the guy who's hunting us?" And the Lord says, "He's a chosen vessel unto me. Go." And Ananias just goes. Ananias changed every one of our lives. Ananias won the individual who was, had the ability to obey God, move the word, write down the epistles that God gave him to do, teach the Bible, stayed so faithful to God, rejoiced in his captivity, and eventually his own demise, his own martyrdom, when they killed him. He did more for God, we all think, right? Well, without Ananias, you haven't got anything. It just said he was a certain disciple. He was willing to do what God asked. God gave him the directions. He went up and did it. And I bet you he was a little apprehensive, a little fearful, a little nervous. "You want me to do what?" I'm sure Daniel was a little nervous going into the lion's den. Doesn't mean he didn't. I mean, we all get nervous, right? Brielle? That don't mean we're afraid. We're full of fear. We did a skit. The family did a skit at family camp, right? And what was the verse? Come in, tell everybody what the verse was. Because Grandma and I were in the front of the auditorium, and we were sitting down watching TV, and everything was so dark and devilish, and we were afraid to go outside, right? And then Brielle and the other lady, Gail, they come up and they knock on the door, and what did you say?
"God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind."
That's right. God did not give us the spirit of fear. You can sit down. But of power and love and a sound mind. You know? Just awesome. Go to Psalm. I would like you to read 37 just for your own benefit today. But go to Psalm 71. We get attacked. The outside world is a distraction. Psalm 71. It says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I am continually resort." This is where I live. "Thou hast given commandments to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress." You know that God Almighty, I mean, this is David, right? God, you gave commandments to save me. How many times he says he will deliver you? He will help you? He will answer your prayers? He's already given his word. every single situation we get into, just like many of these things, some of them take a process of time. Not everything comes to us immediately. It would have been nice, but it doesn't work that way. But he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Verse 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the land of the wicked, out of the land of the unrighteous and cruel men. You know, our Lord's coming back and we will get delivered from this evil and cruel place. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. I may look like a fool unto many. You know, a real dork. You can still say that, right? Unto many. But you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth, verse 8, be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength fails. For my enemies shall stand against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him and persecuted and take him, for there is none to deliver him. You know, in your weakest state, I think that's why old people are very easy victims, right? God's with you. Be praying this prayer. You ain't got much to worry about. He's always with you. The evil wants to take advantage. And with David, they were always persecuting him, pursuing him. But God was his rock. God was his tower. God was his salvation. God Almighty commanded deliverance. David believed these things. And even in his old age, they didn't run him over. Was he challenged? Oh, yeah. Much more so than I want to ever be. David had trouble in his own house after his sin with Bathsheba. All his life, he had turmoil in his own house, his own family. And it was the consequence of that sin. You know, God forgives you your sin, but the consequences don't go away. You know, God will forgive you if you do something very evil and get thrown to jail. But you still did it, and you're still going to jail. That's what I mean by consequences, right? Verse 13 says, let him be confounded and consumed that are adversaries of my soul. And I think that that's a righteous prayer for us to pray. Let it go back on them, Lord. Let it go back on them with the reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually. I will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the number thereof. I don't know how long I'm living. I don't know how many days I got, but every day I got, I am gonna praise thee every day. That's my job in life, to bring him glory. He saved me. Bring him glory. Love him. Bring other people to know him. be a witness. I will go in the strength of the Lord God, Yahweh, my Creator. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake not me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto every one that is come. You know, let me be productive now to show your power, your strength, witness of you to the whatever generations in front of you. This one, this one. I mean, that's the mission. What a wonderful thing. Let me show you another one, 73. You know, when you got your enemies pounding at the door, you go to the Lord. When you got the evil all around you and you're getting frustrated, don't fret yourself with the evildoers. Don't keep your focus on them. Say, oh, you know, this life's so unjust and nothing's going right. Block it out. It's an attack. It's a distraction. It's a distraction to keep you from light of the world, salt of the earth, glorifying your Father. 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, you know that word but came up there and it's going to change the picture, right? The music changes. Oh, God is so good to Israel, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Again, he's taking his eyes off the Lord, right? For there is no bands. There's nothing holding them in. They got an easy time of it in their death. They're living life. They're having such a great time all the way until they die. There's nothing binding them. But their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning the oppressed and speak loftily and set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and the water of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? God doesn't really know. How does he know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Does he really know what's going on around here? I mean, that's what people get to. How many times do you hear people speak evil against God? How did God allow this to happen? You keep that up, and you'll never grow up spiritually. You'll never be of much use. You just take yourself right out. You're not a light anymore, and you're not glorifying God anymore. You're doubting. You're angry. And every other which way. Behold, verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Verily I say, cleanse my heart. I have cleansed my heart in vain. I have washed my hands in innocence. You know what I'm living for? They're doing so good, and I'm not doing so good. I've done all this for nothing. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastised. every morning. And if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children. If I live this way, if I speak this way, then I am going to be a very bad witness to everybody in the family of God and my family and so forth. When I thought to know this, when I really wanted to think it through, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I, when he went to God, that's when things change. The world will distract you. The world will take you out. You know, Solomon was a great man, right? I was thinking of doing The Virtuous Woman this morning. But I thought I'd leave it. Solomon was one of the wisest, had the biggest heart at the beginning of his life. And then his mom taught him as a boy, this is the kind of woman you want in your life. And it's a tremendous, beautiful section in Proverbs 31 of the virtuous. This is what you want to look for. And Bathsheba taught this to her son. And she taught him, and then he didn't listen. And it says in the scriptures that Solomon had hundreds and thousands, actually. And they changed his heart. They changed his heart from serving the Lord unto other gods. And I don't know if that's the sole thing, but that was one of the major things. And Solomon, who God gave the greatest wisdom, wealth, to rule over his people, ended up one of the great tragedies because of his appetites. And Bathsheba told him, kings, you don't give the women the power and you don't drink. Two things, drugs, drinking, and lust. You don't let them rule over you because otherwise you get ruled over. You get ruined. There's a few other things in life too, but those are the two major categories. You don't spend your time trying to figure out why the world is doing so well and you're not. Because that's just envy will destroy you. It's one of those great things that will destroy people. Covetousness is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Don't be, they got, you don't be covetous. You'll have everything you ever need if you got your father. I mean, what would I not do for her? What would her father and mother not do for her? Do you think that your father in heaven is more evil than me? I put it to you that way. A lot of people do. They say words and they come off their lips, but their thought is that he's not going to answer my prayer. He doesn't love me. He loves the other one. You know, remember when you had more than one kid in the family, right? Oh, you're the favorite. See, I'm the favorite, right? You're the favorite. Jimmy over there, he's the favorite. I don't get what he gets. I get the hand-me-downs, whatever the heck it was. You had some excuse why there was a hierarchy here amongst your parents. And the truth of the matter was, the parents were providing and loving all the children. They were loving them all equally. And there was a wisdom to hand-me-downs. You know, it wasn't because you were less loved. It's just because there was only so much that could be spent. And, you know, if you ever notice, all baby clothes, I'm surprised that baby clothes stores are still in business. You know, one of the big blessings is how much Christine has received from people of all these little clothes and the hand-me-down ones and all the, and they're just beautiful. I mean, how long does a kid wear a onesie? And if you got 25 or 50 of them that people have given you, you're not even going to go through them all. If you change three times a day, maybe, and you wash them once, then you hand them to the next person that has a baby. What a beautiful thing. An act of love. So he goes on here. And where was I in 18? Surely thou didst set in slippery places, thou cast them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, and they utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes, so, O Lord, when thou awake, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven, in the heavens but thee? And where, and there is none upon the earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are afar from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy all of them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, to have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Again, it's the same beautiful thing. You keep your eyes on the Lord. Believe what he says about you. First of all, understand, I thought Vince did a tremendous teaching, the first teaching at camp. Know that God loves you. He loved you when you were dead. He loved you when you were his enemy. He loved you when you turned to the Lord. And he didn't love you anymore when you turned to the Lord and confessed Jesus as Lord and believed God's word. He loves you just as much when you were dead in trespasses and sins as he does when you're walking in his steps. His love never, it rains on the just and on the unjust. He don't change. We fluctuate. We fluctuate. Some days I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord, walking, peaceful, blessed, you know, got whatever I need. And other days, I have been distracted. The evil of the world, the mind, the soul, whatever, the distractions are many, and you get sucked up in them, and you start to go down the rat hole. But you got to come to your back. And then, hey, I'm ashamed I even did this Father, I'm ashamed I even thought these things. Who do I have but you? You've always been there. You've always delivered. You've always helped. You give me counsel. These people, they're not going to do real well when the Lord comes back. But we have a hope. So, keep your eyes on the Lord. And when you do, please grow up in a disciplined way to do His word so that you can glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.